I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. He is risen. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. I've been encouraged. I've been spoken to. And my message has already been given. Brother Will did that for me. Today is Easter, and I just want to encourage you this morning. I'll go ahead with my part. I don't want us to approach this day, as many others do, and focus on the eggs and the bunnies and the meal coming up, the special meal coming up, perhaps. And the things that make this day special on the outside. I've appreciated the focus this morning and the encouragement, the challenge we can focus on these outward things. But that's not what counts. If we don't do what Jesus says, if it's not a part of our lives, if it's not my walk, then it doesn't matter. This morning I'd like to consider life in the sun. As years ago, in the Old Covenant, as the people of the Old Covenant were living in their day, and as they were anticipating, they had promises, and they were anticipating something out ahead. They were anticipating a hope. They were anticipating a Messiah, a Savior, someone. And as they looked down through time, they spoke of this hope. Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God." Isaiah said, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise." Daniel said, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Hosea said, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction." Life. That hope out ahead was life. Where was it to come from? Jesus said, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed and condemned to death, delivered to the Gentiles, to be mocked, scourged, and crucified, and the third day he shall rise again." Jesus said, "In him," well, it was John said of Jesus, "In him was life." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Jesus goes on to say, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus could not conquer death. Jesus could not give us life if he had not suffered the things of death, if he had not entered that state himself. Thus was his willingness to come and be a man, the God-man, that he might die to live again. Luke says that not only did he live and die, but he gave us many infallible proofs. Jesus' death brought his followers a terrible blow. His friends, those who loved him, plunged into the shadows of despair and sadness. As he died there, the blinds of loneliness, of discouragement, disappointment, their unbelief, their misunderstanding of what was happening, blinded their eyes. They had learned to, as they walked with Jesus, they had learned to live with surprise at what he did, what he was able to do, but this was too much. This Jesus who died was everything to them. They had committed their lives to him. They had committed their futures. They had walked away from their jobs and committed themselves to this man. He had given them hope and purpose for the future. And his miracles had proved to them that this was not just an ordinary man. This was Jesus. Now he was dead. They had killed him. The unthinkable in their minds had happened. He was dead. But wait. Mary comes along and she says that she has seen him. That she's talked to him. That he's alive. And thus, Jesus appeared to those friends who were so shook up. He came to Mary. He came to the disciples. And as Jesus appeared to them, he brought light. He brought life back to their hearts, back to their darkness. And as they committed themselves to following him, to being his disciples, he gave them power to become sons of God and to be his witnesses. I'd like to read the appearances of Jesus and notice the response as Jesus came and showed himself, revealed himself to these. In Mark 16:9, it says he appeared first to Mary. Let's read that from John chapter 20. I know Brother Leland read from Matthew, but I never tire of these accounts. John chapter 20. I'd like to read verses 11 through 18. We find Mary there in the garden, there outside the sepulcher. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? What seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. Which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told her the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. This was a woman who loved the Lord. She had walked with Jesus. She had been healed of Jesus. She was close to Jesus. And that love of Jesus to choose her to be the first to appear to, and to respond, to reach out to her heart, he knew. He knew she was heartbroken. As Jesus called her name, he spoke life to her. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. We have Jesus appearing to the two walking the road to Emmaus. Luke 24:13. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk, and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the men had women had said, but him they saw not. And he saith unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hurt burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Again, as Jesus opened their understanding, walked them through the scriptures, the prophecies, and helped them understand that, no, this is right. This was to happen. This was necessary. And then as they come to the house and they give him the invitation, don't travel on. Stay with us. Abide with us. That blessed me as I read it again. They didn't know who it was. He was but a stranger. But it was the very man they loved, they so loved. And as they sat to the table, no doubt they had been fed from Jesus' hands before. Likely as Jesus thanked the Father and broke the bread, it was just another time. And their eyes were opened somehow. And they recognized who it was. And life flooded their hearts. Things made more sense now. In verse 34, it says that Jesus also appeared to Simon, to Peter, that peculiar one of the disciples. Peter, Jesus appeared to him as well. Now let's go back to John 20. Beginning in verse 19, we have him coming to his disciples. They had already heard from Mary that she had seen him, that he is alive. But they were still troubled. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. As Jesus came to the 10, they were met together in fear of what may happen. And here Jesus appears and brings peace and life to the disciples. Encouragement to the disciples. Verse 26. He wasn't finished yet. There was Thomas to show himself to yet. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. As was already pointed out this morning, seeing is believing. If you are an eyewitness, you have no doubt that it happened. That was one mark of the apostles there in the early church. The apostles could only be apostles if they had seen the Lord. That was one mark. They had a message to carry that was a little unbelievable. They needed to be convinced of it if they were to pass it on. They were eyewitnesses. They had seen the risen Christ. He had given them life. And they were messengers of that. Blessed are those who believe who have not seen. Have you seen Jesus? Have I seen Jesus? Not as they did. But blessed are you for believing today. Do you have any less proof that He is alive? I know He's alive. You know He's alive. If your life has been changed, we too have proof. Jesus said that ye might believe, and through believing ye might have life through His name. This was the whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth, giving His life, dying, that He might rise again and that He might give you and I new life today. We probably all know people who, often it's older people, who live by themselves and who hole up in their houses and pull the shades down, seemingly oblivious that the sun is shining outside. They pull the shades, they turn on their lamp, and they sit in their chair, and they enjoy the security of their little house. They enjoy those hours in the shadows. And we'd like to say, dear friend, open the shade. The sun is shining. Open your window. Let some fresh air in. Come outside. Walk in the sunlight. Don't sit in the light of your lamp. Come out and experience the light and the life and the warmth of the sunlight. There's a Jewish proverbial saying that goes like this: as the sun ariseth, infirmities decrease. I've heard numerous times this spring already, we're so ready for the sunshine. Maybe these flu bugs will go away. There is life in the sun, physically. I believe that this illustrates the same spiritually. Brothers and sisters, this morning, Jesus still brings life. He still brings light to the heart that is dark, life to where there is death. Even yet today, we tend to hide behind shades of pride, and we pull down doubts, and we pull down disappointments. We hide behind unforgiveness, bitterness, greed, hypocrisy. We have all these shades drawn down to hide us. We think our sin is hidden. Nobody knows about it. And we sit in the shadows of these things. It even feels secure to us to be able to hide in these shadows. We pride ourselves in the dim light of self-inflated knowledge. And we cozy up in our easy chair of self-righteousness. We feel quite content. And seemingly, we just live willingly oblivious that there's sunshine outside. Just beyond the shade is sunshine. My friend, this morning, if you are in the dark, if you are feel like you're in the shadows this morning, put the shade up. Open the window. Step outside into the light, into the sunlight, S-O-N. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. As we open our heart, maybe for the first time, as we open those blinds and allow Jesus in His light to dispel that darkness, as we come to the source of light, He brings life to us. couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God chose to, through Jesus, to show us a glimpse of His glory, that light to shine, the knowledge of the glory of God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This morning, if God has touched your heart, if God has shined His light into your life, and you have His life this morning, there is a reason for that. It's already been said this morning. It's not for your benefit. Yes, you benefit. I benefit. But it's for others. God wants us for a beacon, to be His beacon, to shine the light to others. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He that hath the Son hath life. Today, as we remember Jesus who brought life, who came back to life from the dead, and who gives us life, may we search, may we look, may we reflect inwardly and see where we are. Have we received of that light? If so, does it show? May God bless you as you shine for Him.